Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storms, he is Lord and Lord of all. Father, we just want to thank you that you are our cornerstone. We want to thank you that even in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the storms that we are facing. And we thank you that you are the Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, Louise. And thank you to everyone for coming this morning. And thank you for the prayers that were said for our beloved families and for all of us. It's not easy for us all. But we thank God that in the midst of the storm, he always shows up to be the Lord of all. This story of Jonah is a very interesting one and a bit difficult because Jonah always reflects the default of us all. That, you know, when God tells you to do something that you are not comfortable with, the first thing is to find your way of convenience or to bend out. So it's like yesterday I had a conversation with a friend and there was something he had to do which he was being, he says, oh, I'm not sure the Lord wants me to do it. I said, why? He said, because I really don't like to do it. I said, oh, okay. Meanwhile, this is a very good thing I felt would be good for him, but he's saying, because he doesn't want to do it, he thinks the Lord doesn't want it. I said, no, don't mix the two. You can say you don't like it, but don't say the Lord don't want you to do it because you don't like it. So yes, Jonah, when we looked at the first part of Jonah 1, we saw how as soon as Jonah saw what God wanted him to do wasn't what he wanted, he found an escape route. And unfortunately, you can run, but you cannot hide. God cornered him into a hard place. And so Jonah had to surrender. Before I start today, I would like to show us a short video just to encourage us all and to just get us to think for a minute. So let's watch this lovely video. Oh, yeah. Right, so this is a conversation. It's a parable, actually, by Dr. Weiner. He was giving a parable about two babies and their conversation in their mother's womb. So let's listen. Sorry, I need to pick the sound.
Something after this. Maybe we're here to get ready for what's next.
That's absurd. There is no life after delivery. What would it even look like?
I'm not sure, but I imagine there will be more light. Maybe we'll walk on our legs. Maybe we'll eat through our mouth.
Walking is impossible, and eating with mouths? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord provides all the nutrients we need. Life after delivery is nonsense. The cord is too short for that.
Maybe, but I feel there's something more. And maybe it's different than it is here.
No one has ever come back from there. It's the end. Delivery is the end of life. It's just silence, darkness, and nothingness.
I don't know, but certainly we will see Mother. She will take care of us.
Mother? You actually believe in Mother? Where is she now?
Mother is all around us. It is in her that we live. Without her, there would not be this world.
I don't see Mother, so it's only logical that she does not exist.
Sometimes, when everything is quiet, you can hear her. You can feel her presence. You can hear her loving voice from above. I believe there is reality after delivery, and we're here to prepare for that moment when it comes.
Yeah, I'll just leave it there while I speak. This one was an interesting one when I was thinking and praying about our beloved mother, grandmother, Jill. Jill has taken the lead to experience what is there after delivery. Yeah. So I want us all to be hopeful and excited that she's set free from our bondage. She's free now to experience Mother, to be with Mother, and we will all join Mother and Jill soon. Amen. Right, so today I'm going to do it a bit like an African style. An African style of preach, so that's why I'm in my African smock. And so in Africa, usually we read the scripture and then we do a bit of explanation and take another one. So it's as we go. So I'm not going to do a lot of English style today. So so I'm going to start reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Jonah, chapter 2. So from the verse 1, it says, from the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord and said, yeah, I'm waiting for everyone to open. I don't want to run ahead. Okay, so I think it's people are there now. From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, this was very interesting when I saw this. Jonah, all of a sudden, finds himself. Yes, he knew he was going to be thrown into the sea to be destroyed by the waves. But all of a sudden, he found himself being swallowed by a being or a fish, we will call it. A lot of us think it's metaphorical. It may not be a fish, but it would be a water creature, which we probably don't know. But it's like, I remember years ago, I went to the Mole National Park, and I saw a big python. It had swallowed an antelope. So, and it had the whole antelope in its belly, but the head of the antelope could not go into the belly, so it had to stay in the mouth. And the animal, the python, had to lie there for 2 weeks for the animal to rot before it could move. That's how they eat. So when you look at it that way, Jonah finding himself in the belly of a fish, and, oh, I'm still alive. Because generally there are acids and chemicals in the stomach of the animals which should, you know, start rotting him away. But he finds that, no, I'm still okay. That is a miracle in itself. So he needs to say, okay, as long as there is life, there is hope. I have to call on to him. So that was a very interesting scenario. Jonah did not say, oh, I'm already in the fish. Oh, it's all over. I'm gone. There is nothing I can do about it. I'm just going to die here and rot here. Jonah didn't do that. He prayed. Oftentimes we get into troubles that we say, it's too late. I can't do anything about this. Everything is gone. All hope is lost. But as long as there is breath, there is hope. Just talk to him wherever you find yourself. And that is exactly what Jonah did. And Jonah employed a very interesting technique, I'll call it. He employed a different style of prayer, which we are not used to. Because if I were the one in this situation, I would be crying, God, please save me. I am dying. The whale is going to, I'm going to die in the belly of this whale. Can you come to my rescue? But Jonah didn't do that. He used a different technique. Let's look at what he did. Jonah said, in my distress, I called the Lord, and he answered me. Come on. You are still in the belly of the whale. What do you mean by he answered you? I don't get it. He said, from deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. What? You are still there in the belly of the fish. He said, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. Oh, the engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains, I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, O Lord, my God, brought me up to life from the pit. Why? Why is Jonah saying this when he's still down there in the belly of the fish? He's still in the belly of the fish. And why is he saying the Lord brought him up out of the pit? I don't understand. Can anybody help me understand what Jonah is doing? The logic behind what Jonah is trying to achieve, I don't get it. And interestingly, he's speaking like in a past tense, that God delivered me from the pit, but he's still in the pit. Can we pray that way? Will it make sense for us to pray that way on any day in trouble? I'm in trouble. I'm like, thank you, God, that you delivered me. I don't get it. I read on. He says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. He said, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. This is very interesting. I realize that it's two things in this situation. It's either you just, oh God, I'm all hope is gone. I am destroyed. You know, or you complain, or you grumble, and you say, oh, I don't like what I found myself in. What am I going to do? Or you cry to God for help. And Jonah here was simply praising God. So I would have titled this message, Praise in the Midst of Chaos. Praise in the midst of our troubles. So Jonah employed a certain level of trust and expressed it towards God. A certain level of trust that when you have for your friend, you would say that, as for this friend, this friend would always show up and come to my aid when I need him. like there is that kind of unwavering trust that Jonah exhibited here. It's like in the week I was reading the book of Daniel and I saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were being told that if you don't bow before the image, we will throw you into the fire. And interestingly, they said, we are not going to defend ourselves. When you read that scripture, he said, we are not going to fight for ourselves, but we are not going to bow down to that image. He said, even if you throw us into the fire, our Lord would save us. I'm like, this is trust. This is like the highest level of trust and faith. That in the face of death, you know that, yes, I am crushed. I am in the belly of the whale. There is no hope for me. But you are still saying, I know that you delivered me. Can we do this in our lives? Can we, that, okay, yes, we have a big challenge in our lives. Somebody is sick and is dying. And we say, thank you, Father, for we know that you have healed. For you know, we know that you took this sickness on the cross. Can we say this? Can we praise God amidst our challenges? It reminded me again of Paul and Silas. They were in prison, behind bars, in chains. The Bible says they sang praises to the Lord. They shift focus from the problem and they say, we know you that you can do this. It is like that in our real lives. Let's say you go to somebody, you go to a friend who is probably a medical doctor. And before you speak to him, you say, oh, my dear friend, I know you are a very experienced medical person. Now, I have this problem and I know you are the only one who can help me solve this problem. The moment you start, your friend is alert with all his abilities and willing to help you because he knows you are expressing that high level of trust in his skill. And he would not like to disappoint. It is a similar way that Jonah, the prophet, even Jesus himself, he would normally praise the Father even before the problem is solved. So when he went to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said that, Father, I thank you that you hear me, that I am only saying this out loud because of these people so that they will believe. He said, I thank you that you hear me. Before he now said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. It is an interesting trend I am seeing in scripture, which I think we can all learn from. I know it is hard. It doesn't make sense to our logical minds that when we are in the midst of challenges, we should praise. Why should I praise him when I'm struggling? Why should I be thanking him when I am struggling, when I rather need his help? Well, just thank him that you know that he can help you. Thank him that you trust him, that he's able to change impossible circumstances to make it possible and to make it work together for your good. Just thank him. Thank him. Let him know that you believe in his word and you trust him that even at the point of death, he will show up. It is not, yes, I know it doesn't make sense to our calculations. Oh, you know, we always need a certain sense of certainty around everything. We want to calculate, we want to plan, which I'm not very good at. We want to see the end before we start, but it doesn't work that way. Rather, praise him for the end. Don't worry about the means, how it's going to happen. Just know that he is God. He is Lord of all, and he's able to turn out any circumstance, which has been shown in the Bible countless number of times. And in my own life, I've seen it. I've seen God. I've seen impossible situations. And I just say, God, I leave it to you. Thank you. I know you have done it. And he does it. I know all of us have stories, or each and every one of us will have one story or the other when you thought, oh, it's not going to be possible. And then you went to God. And God did something. God turned it around. So why don't we keep that faith and that trust in him in every circumstance in life. Now, I read Paul. Paul also said something. He encouraged the believers. He said, in all things, with supplications, prayers. He said, with supplications and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In all things. He said, with supplication and thanksgiving, before the request comes. And that is what Jesus showed us. He thanked his Father. I thank you that you've heard me, before he brought his request. And that is what Jonah did here. Jonah said, I thank you that you delivered me from the pit, even though he was still in the pit. Now let's look at what happened. He said, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. This is, I don't know why Jonah decided to bring that phrase in, that sentence, but it's fine. Let's deal with it. He says that those who cling to idols, what is that idol you are clinging to? An idol does not necessarily always need to be an altar or something weird. It could merely be your phone, or it could merely be a certain knowledge that you got that now causes you to deny the grace of God. So an idol could be anything that takes the place of God in your life. It could even be your spouse. It could be your child. What is that thing that you are replacing God with in your life? That is the idol. Don't reject the grace of God by holding an idol. I'm not saying don't love your spouse. I'm not saying don't love your children. No. The Bible says that we should love our spouses. We should love human beings. We should love our neighbors as ourselves. And so love is non-negotiable. For us Christians, it's supposed to be our life. It's supposed to be the rule by which we operate. So I'm not saying you should neglect them, no. I'm only saying that the level of reverence which you give to God, or yes, the place where God is supposed to be in your life, you have replaced it with something else. That is the idol. So let's look at what happened. He said, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. He said, I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. I did not see even one scripture where Jonah was saying, God, can you deliver me from this fish? He just praised God. He says, salvation comes from the Lord. And this is what happened in verse 10. He said, and then the Lord commanded the fish. He said, and then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Come on. None of us, nowhere did Jonah say, God, can you get me out of this place? No. He was just praising. The same with Paul and Silas in prison. And, you know, this is similar situation. Jonah was bound in the fish of the belly. That is restriction. He was restricted. His freedom was, he was bound. That's it, basically. And Paul and Silas were also bound in prison. And what did they do? They praised. They praised. They praised. And then God intervened. I'm not saying this as a formula, like, okay, this is it. Okay, now I've seen the technique, so I'm going to apply it. No, I'm only telling you to genuinely express your trust and faith in the one you serve. Genuinely, it should be from a place of genuine heart, not like a calculation, like, okay, Abraham said you should just praise God. So let me praise him and see whether he'll do something. If he doesn't do something, it means the word of God is not true. No. That's not it. It's from a place of genuine heart of trust. You trust him. You are holding him to his word. You believe in the word. You believe in the examples. that he did with Jonah, that he did with Paul and Silas. And so you believe that he will do it for you as well. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for showing us your love again and again. We thank you that sometimes your word is so hard to believe. We just ask for the heart to be able to believe and to always turn to you in the midst of our chaos. For this reason, we just want to thank you that we know that we are going through hard times, but we believe that you have already delivered us. We believe that we will come out stronger than before. We thank you for the families of our dear sister Jill. We thank you for Clive and his children. We thank you, the Lord, you are strengthening them, and you have strengthened them. And you will take them and us all through this situation victoriously. We thank you for Sean, for how far you have brought him in the process of recovery. We thank you that you have delivered him and would make him whole from this situation. We thank you, the Lord, you are with us all from now till the end of the age. In Jesus' name, amen.